One good thing about the final judgment is it means creation will no longer suffer from the effects of sin. It won't be like this forever, but Jesus will come again. And when he does, he will bring all of his angels with him, and he will sit on his throne of glory and judge humanity. To the blessed sheep, he will say, "Come, enter into the joy of your master. Receive an inheritance prepared for you since before the foundation of the world." To the goats, it's a little different, isn't it? To the ungodly who think they can get away with their crimes, convinced God doesn't exist. To the ungodly who believe they are free to govern their lives as they choose. They are in for a stark awakening from a God who has a perfect track record of keeping his promises. Jesus will come again, and when he does, the heathen will be exposed for who they are. Our Lord sees everything. Nothing is hidden. In human courts, it can take judges, juries, and lawyers quite some time to find the truth and execute justice. And even then, it's not always right, but not so with our God. The psalmist says this. He says, "God will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness." God's verdict is swift, true, righteous, and there is no escape. So one may be able to do a pretty good job now at covering his or her sinfulness and deceit, but at the final judgment, God will not be fooled. We will all stand before him and receive the verdict. There is justice in this text insofar as the ungodly who have spent their lives railing against God, trashing his word and glorifying themselves, they will finally be sentenced under God's law. The law that accused them their entire lives, that they suppressed and ignored, it will come to bear. Man will be held accountable for his unfaithfulness. He can scorn God's word now, but it's only a matter of time. Justice always sounds good until it applies to you, right? And even a believer can look at this text and become frightened, asking the question, well, what am I? Am I a sheep or am I a goat? On the surface, it seems pretty clear as to why some are on the right and others go to the left. It seems as if the sheep are the ones who did works that the goats did not do. But does that mean salvation really, at the end of the day, all boils down to the amount of works you have done? Does salvation really come to those who have done the right things? They get in and the others do not. Before jumping to that conclusion, there are some things to consider. When Christ brings the sheep and the goats before him, before he even mentions the works of either the sheep or the goats, he calls the sheep blessed. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." People of God, the word blessed, that's an important word. And it doesn't necessarily mean your life is going to be filled with earthly riches and you'll have perfect health or possess some temporal item or gift that only perishes when we go to life eternal. To be blessed means to be accepted and forgiven by God on behalf of Jesus. To be blessed means to have faith in God. You hear his voice and you follow him. To be blessed means one lives a life of repentance and faith in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, sent to redeem humanity from the clutches of sin. To be blessed means that by grace through faith you possess a salvation that has been prepared for you since before the foundation of the world, and nothing takes that salvation away from God's children to those who belong to God in Christ. Salvation is theirs. To be blessed, to be blessed by God means you are a good tree bearing good fruit, called to be salt and light in an unsalty and very dark world. The psalmist is clear, salvation belongs to God. It's something that is yours through Christ. It is not something man earns by his own merits and works. That being said, when we read a text like Matthew 25, the final judgment, it can be frightening even for the Christian. But for the baptized believer, the final judgment is a day of jubilation and joy. Your God has not given you over to confusion. He has not left you with a spirit of doubt and fear. Rather, Jesus says this. He says, "Come all to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's what your Lord tells you. Also, Jesus will say unto his people, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." A ransom. He's paid the price to purchase you for himself. Jesus will say, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. It is given. Fear not." These are words of comfort, confidence, assurance, consolation. Fear not. These are words of your Savior, who loves you, his sheep, enough to lay down his life for you, fulfilling God's law for you, making himself willingly the victim of our transgressions on Calvary's cross, and in so doing that, he has redeemed you for himself, purified and cleansed you before God. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that Christ died to redeem you for himself, that Christ has done the work. And it is through Jesus that you possess heaven. Now, I get that we hear that a lot. The gospel, the good news. And we know it. But it is a truth we must hear time and time again. Because it's not just head knowledge, you see. But the gospel, A, is a truth that is easy for sinners to forget. And second, the gospel is the only answer to God's law that does show us our sin and need for a Savior. I know we all have days where when we get to the end of our day, we look back and think, "Boy, I really screwed that up. I really messed up there." Fail. Sins flare up even in Christians. Did you lose your temper this past week? Did you get angry? Or how about this one? Did you become impatient because things weren't moving as fast as you thought? Sometimes before we know it, we find ourselves becoming angry, mad. We have lost our temper, or we're impatient over something. Even in the baptized believer, these sins can strike before we know it. The gospel is the cure. It's in Christ that we find healing. And then there are those sins that persist. They linger. Depression, anxiety, or worry. I got the honest question this last week from a person. They said to me, "Pastor, you mean worrying is a sin?" And the impetus for the question was, we do it so much. You may think that something's wrong with you if you're not worrying about something. People of God, fear and anxiety, those things stem from doubt in God's word and promise that he will not leave you. He will not abandon you. God does not turn his back on his children. He does not turn his back on his sheep. And when we are suffering these feelings of doubt, fear, anxiety, worry, when we look upon our sins throughout the day, the gospel is the answer. In the gospel, we find the healing of knowing our sins are put away. We have been redeemed by Christ. In him we are blessed. If salvation is something that is attained by our works and merits, we're in a lot of trouble. Because there's nothing in Matthew 25 that says God grades on a curve. However, it does say in that text that God sees our works. And the sheep, they ask an interesting question. When they stand before Jesus, they say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, naked, destitute? When did we see you, and when did we serve you?" The righteous did deeds of mercy and charity, not even knowing they were doing it to Jesus. They loved and they served their neighbor, not even knowing they were doing it to Christ. This means, friends, they weren't doing these things because they were trying to store up brownie points for God. They weren't contemplating, hey, if I do this good work, this will make God happy. They were blessed and they served. They were forgiven and they served their neighbor in need. Now, I have a quote from Luther on this, and he says it much better than I. He says this about faith. Please listen carefully. Faith does not ask whether good works are to be done. But before the question is asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them. That's the idea. And faith, friends, like the gospel, it's not just head knowledge. But true faith, a living, active faith, a faith given to you through the proclaimed holy word of God, is a gift. And it is by faith that one believes and serves. It is by faith that we trust in God's word, and by faith we can go about our day serving others in whatever vocation that may be, whatever station in life, we can love and serve, knowing in Christ we are forgiven, free, and heirs to a salvation prepared for you, his people, since before even the foundations of the world. I also want to add, too, the works that we see in this text, Matthew 25, giving water, giving food, giving clothing, tending to the sick. These are not glorified works in the eyes of the world, but these are works that have God's divine command behind them. Loving and serving a neighbor in need is not highly esteemed by the world. But friends, loving your neighbor has God's divine command behind it. And it is a pleasing work insofar God has commanded us to love and serve our neighbor. And any work that has God's divine command behind it is not to be despised. The blessed, righteous sheep enter into the joy of life eternal. I want to leave you with why you can consider yourselves blessed, why you may consider yourselves righteous, and those gifts come from faith in Jesus. Trusting in his word where he says unto you, be of good cheer, go in my peace, your sins are forgiven. In Christ the King you find your blessedness, and so when our Lord returns for his people, it will be a day of joy and jubilation. A day where he tells his sheep, hold your heads high because your salvation is drawing near. When judgment comes, you know what you possess because God has promised you what you have in Christ, and he does not go back on his word. Through his mercy, love, and compassion, these things are yours. By the death of Christ on the cross, consider your sins paid for in full, and on account of this gift, you are blessed. Christ has made you righteous, and you are an heir to a salvation already secured and prepared for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.